Memories of a guacamole-like ooze smothering South Florida waterways were still fresh last summer when Senate President Joe Negron proposed a solution, a $2.4 billion 60,000-acre reservoir somewhere south of Lake Okeechobee. Condemnation came swiftly from major landowners like U.S. Sugar and community activists worried about job loss in one of the poorest areas of the state. Debate even spread to North Florida, where former Republican State Senator Greg Evers was running for Congress.
It's time for the state to step up, use the resources that's available to it, and not be purchasing farmland, taking off the tax rolls, making it a burden on the counties south of the lake.
Evers lost, but opposition to the project grew. Negron has been fighting to keep a coalition of Democrats, moderate Republicans, and environmentalists on board ever since. This week, Negron announced he could accomplish the goal with just $1.5 billion and a smaller, deeper reservoir. Senate Budget Chief Jack Latvala says the new plan requires water managers to use far fewer private acres, reducing job loss. And Latvala says that should quiet the critics.
Well, I would certainly hope so. When you hear their stated objections that they've made publicly, it's always had to do with losing jobs or the amount of bonding involved or whatever, and we pretty much removed those stated objections.
Now, the same critics point out the plan would interfere with a complicated schedule for Everglades restoration hammered out years ago between the state and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. But bill sponsor Rob Bradley, a Fleming Island Republican, calls that nitpicking. Bradley says the schedule wasn't written in stone.
What the Senate is saying is that we now have the financial and political wherewithal and will to get Southern Storage done. The schedule should adapt to those realities, and that is the new reality.
The compromise appears to be working. House Speaker Richard Corcoran, a chief critic, told reporters he likes a lot of what he sees.
We'll go through it. The Senate knows our concerns and what we'd like to do, and so we'll see. But I think that the more the Senate works on it, the happier we are.
The new plan delays the need to borrow money for a year, but the state eventually would have to issue bonds to pay its $750 million share of the cost. And that's a line Corcoran says he's not willing to cross.
No, we're not bonding. Bonding's an issue.
There's still bonding in it, so you're not going to go along with it, even though it's optional.
No, I didn't say we're going to go along with it. I said it's getting better and better.
Negron is also putting his foot down.
I think we need to have bonding authority in Senate Bill 10 to accomplish the goals in a short period of time.
The money would come from a land acquisition trust fund that was central to Amendment 1. Environmentalists sponsored the ballot initiative in 2014 after the legislature stopped funding land conservation programs like Florida Forever. Over the years, Florida Forever has rescued millions of wilderness acres from the bulldozer. Negron says using Amendment 1 money for the reservoir is a natural fit.
And while we all are entitled to our opinions about bonding and how much we should do, the reality is that Amendment 1, passed by over 70% of the voters, not only authorizes bonding, it anticipates bonding for large land purchases.
In fact, Negron goes a step further. He says Amendment 1 was a mandate for projects like the reservoir.
But when the voters speak and send us a directive to do bonding for environmental land purchases, I think we're obligated to honor that constitutional imperative.
With about a month left in the 60-day session, the project's future looks brighter, but nobody is scheduling a groundbreaking ceremony yet. Governor Rick Scott did not include money for a reservoir in his budget proposal. And like Corcoran, Scott opposes borrowing money for land conservation. For WFSU News, I'm Jim Ash.